The light, the blessed gospel light, let it
shine. Let the church say amen. For God is good, and all the time God is good. It's so good to be here once again, because God didn't wake us because we were so good. He woke us because it was His will for us to wake up. Let us never forget that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's what we want to do this morning, worship Him in spirit and in truth. You probably figured out by now that Job is one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. And we're going to speak from Job again this morning. I promise not to be too long, but just enough time to get the word out. Let us go to God in prayer. Our Lord, our God, and our Heavenly Father, You have blessed us once again to call our name this morning and wake us from our deep slumbering and sleep. We're so thankful, Lord. You gave us the opportunity to have clothes for our bodies, food for our stomach, and transportation to get from our house to Your house. We're so thankful, Lord, that You have blessed us with these blessings. And we're thankful this morning that we can stand here in the Stony Island Church of Christ and talk about Your darling Son, Jesus. Father, we pray for the leaders of this congregation as well as the members and all their families. We pray for the sick and the shut in. We pray for those who still might be on their way, that they might get here safely and without any hurt, harm, or danger. We pray for those this morning, Father, that may be traveling and tripping all over the country and all over the world, perhaps. We just pray that You give them safe passage, both to and from their destinations, that they may return to us and be with us once again. Father, we pray for those who are behind prison bars. We just pray, O Heavenly Father, that You bless them and give them an opportunity to realize that You are the key to all freedom. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father, for all You do for us. And it was early one morning when you went to Calvary's cross. It was midday when You went to Calvary's cross. And we're so thankful, Lord, that You survived and You came back to life. We know that You were once alive and then You died and now You're alive again and forevermore. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father, for those people who meet our everyday needs, those who are first responders, those who are serving in the armed forces all over the world, that we may be kept safe and secure. Thank You, Father, for Jesus as He went to that cross, hung, bled, and died that we may have an opportunity to the tree of life. Thank You, Lord. Father, we're so grateful and we're praying for the sick and the shut in everywhere, especially those who are members of the household of faith. Now, my Heavenly Father, as I pray for each and every one here today, I pray that You give them wisdom and knowledge and that You help me to recall what I have studied and what I have brought to the forefront, what I shall bring to the forefront this morning. Thank You, Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, it is in Your Son Jesus' name that we pray and ask all these blessings. Let the church say, amen. Amen. Once again, the scripture was read for your hearing from Job chapter 19. Verses 25 through 27. Those And all my close friends abhor me, and those whom I have loved all my close friends abhor me, and those whom I love have turned against me. My bones cling to my skin and to my flesh. I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong one. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. We want to speak for a few minutes from a subject called the God who holds tomorrow. The book of Job is a very interesting book. It shows us what can happen to a man when Satan gets in his life. But it also shows a person who trusts in God can hold on to his faith in God. At this time in Job's life, the only thing he had left was his faith in God. That was the reason he could retain his faith, was because he knew God. When one knows God, then life's greatest storms can be weathered. Everything that Job held dear has now been swept away by Satan. His riches, his family, his friends, his health, and even his wife. When a man can make the statement Job made, it shows just how he trusts in his life to God. For he said, I know my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. In my flesh I shall see God. What a powerful God we, along with Job, serve. We too can make these statements, for we serve the God who holds tomorrow. He is the God who is real. There are many reasons why we know God is real, but many don't believe in God's existence. But all we need to do is just look at the scriptures found in Psalms 14 and verse number 1, where the Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. Believers know that God is real and is created by his created creations. In the first chapter in the first book of the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We know he is real because he gave us salvation through Jesus Christ. Notice what our text declares. In Job, in Psalms 19 and 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We can know that God is real because he still answers prayers. If there be not our God, why then do so many call upon him in times of tragedy? Job said in verse 25 of the text, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Then he went a bit further to say, not only does he live, but he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I believe that Job was saying, no matter what I'm going through now, if I continue to serve God, who can see me through it all? Church, isn't God all right today? And even though we may struggle a bit now and then, we can look forward to being all right in the end. We know the God who is able to stand over the whole world. The God who has one hand holding up the night and the other hand holding up the daylight. The God who pushes the sun up in the east and causes it to set in the west. He can do it day by day, and yet the sun never breaks down, never needs repairing. Unlike those bodies we live in, they may require maintenance every now and then. And while, if you don't believe it, just hang on for a little while and you'll begin to understand. I tell you some things that, a few things that I don't trust. I don't trust self-driving automobiles. I don't too much trust backup cameras in cars because I never know where it's going if I don't look and help the camera out. There are so many things that I don't trust, but I trust in the Lord and I know He'll see me through. I know that God already knows where I'm backing up at before I back up. And you know, my wife and I comment from time to time, I used to drive fast. I used to drive a fast car. As a matter of fact, I still own a very fast car that I haven't driven for a few years now. But now when somebody's coming down the street at 35 miles an hour, I say, why are they speeding so? I say to myself, why can't they slow down and just take the road at a normal pace? But I trust in the Lord and I know that He will see us through this and all of this and that as well. God is good. And all the time, God is. He is the God who rules and reigns. Job said, He shall stand at the latter day. Not only was that the God in Job's day, but He still stands in our day as well. We should take offense to what men are trying to do today. They are using their powers to try to dethrone God. But no matter how hard they try, God is still on the throne and He still has control of everything. Psalms 135 and verse number 6 says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deep places. And man cannot change that. Not one heavenly star can man cause to be changed. For the sky is still under God's control and the earth is still in God's control. Watch Isaiah 16 in verse number 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. From the beginning of time has God declared the end of time already. God will always be God and the powers will be the powers of hell and earth cannot change this. The Bible is the word of God and whether we like it or not, these same words are going to judge us one day. The same God of whom many have turned their faces away from shall stand face to face with Him one day. The Bible is the official word from God given to man to teach us how to be pleasing and acceptable to God. The Bible gives men everywhere instruction on not only how to be saved, but also how to make it to heaven. This past week, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the death of Dr. Martin Luther King. And even though his death shocked many, the death of Jesus shocked of over 1,000 years ago, should cause us to always remember Christ, for He was and He still is our Savior. The good thing about it is that God is still in control and He reigns. This is our sweet and precious Savior who we will see through this world. He gives sound to the thunder. He gives light to the lightning. He gives moonlight to the moon. He gives shine to the sun. He gives twinkling to the stars. Yes, church, God is large and He is still very real and in charge. He is the God we shall all see. Look at the text, if you will, with me for a moment. Look at verse number 25 again. For I know that my Redeemer lives and He shall stand in the last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself and my eyes shall behold and not another. We're going to see God, church, whether we like it or not. And the good part about it is that it's not on your time schedule, it's on God's time schedule. Job knew he would see God in his old, in this old body we now live in shall be raised up and shall be, we shall see the Redeemer. In 1 Corinthians 15:44, the Bible said, it is sown natural body. It is raised up a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And we're going to see God, church. So what I want to say this morning is thank you, Lord, for allowing us one day to see you. If we only have two words to say to the Lord today, it should be thank you. If I was Italian, I would say gracias. If I was Spanish, I would say gracias. If I were German, I would say danke. If I was Jamaican, I would say thank you. If I were Jordanian, I would say shukran. But I tell you something. Since I'm English and I barely speak that so well, I simply say thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Everybody ought to have a thank you for God. Just like on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Bible said every man heard in their own language. Therefore, everyone ought to say thank you in his own language. But Jesus died for us, and all of us owe him our gratitude. And I'll tell you something else every man should have. Every man should have a prayer on his lips, ready to spew it out to God at any and all times. The policeman should have a prayer ready for after he completes his shift and he gets home. He ought to praise God and thank God for allowing him to live. The doctor ought to have a prayer for God. Everybody ought to have a prayer for God. If you don't have a prayer for God, you need to develop one in your mind and in your heart to give God thank yous and to give God his righteous dues. Just like the Bible says in Mark 18, I believe it is, that men ought to always to pray. It's either Mark or Luke. Men ought to always pray, 18:1. And when men ought to always have a prayer in their hearts for God, because God has done so much for us. You know, when I think about just how much God has done for us, I begin to wonder about it sometime. I begin to ask the question, God, why are you so good to me? And then I know that the answer will come one day. But here we are. We have been given another day in which we should be thankful to God for what he has done for us. All men ought to come to the Lord, for we all owe him our lives and our salvation. We can all come in the same manner. This is by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. For everyone that can find a reason for not coming to God, I can give you two more for reasons why you should come to God. Because once again, in the scripture, the Bible says, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. You want to have a prayer, you want to be thankful, and you want to serve a God that you know that you'll see again. You know, all these other religions, they had founders, so they say. But their founders are mostly all gone now. But our founder is still alive and well, sitting on the right hand of his Father in heaven. Now, if you need to clarify that a little further, just think heaven. Heaven is the place we all want to get to. That's why I believe we're here this morning, because we want to get to heaven. I believe that we know that one day we are going to see God, and we should be thankful for that. Then in verse number 26, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. Verse 27, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. You see, you're not going to get away from seeing God. We're going to all see God one day, and we're going to stand face to face with Him. And nevertheless, whether you're ready to face Him or not, you are going to have to face Him. When I think about all the greatness and all the great things God has given us, and think about it for a moment. Now, we have Bible class on Wednesday night here. And I just like to say, why don't we have more in the Bible class? We have Bible class here on Sunday morning. And I'd like to ask the question, why don't we have more here for the Bible class on Sunday morning? And I'd like to simply say, I guess they have their reasons for not. But God is the reason that we need to be here, if not for ourselves, but for the Lord who has done so much for us. Now let me continue on and just reiterate that scripture again. It says that after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Now when I consider how well we've been treated by the Lord, we ought to understand, we need to come to understand that God is good to us. God is always good. God is the best that we've ever had, and there will be none other like Him. There is no other like Him. And if you think that you can escape seeing God, you got another thing coming. You're going to have to face Him. Every eye shall see Him, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. So you ought to prepare. And if you're not, having put on Jesus through the watery grave of baptism behind me here, you ought to consider doing it, and you ought to consider it sooner rather than later. For God is always looking down upon us. He is in heaven, but He's still looking down upon us. And Job knew, I like to go back to that book every so often. Job knew what he was doing. He had, consider this, he had lost everything he has. He had lost everything he had, in his family, his wealth, but still, God, he trusted in God. And his wife lost her faith in God, but he still didn't. She said, why don't you curse God and die? And Job just ignored her, I would imagine. Because he knew she was speaking silliness. So all I'm saying to you this morning is continue to trust in God, and He will make everything all right. Continue to know God and keep his will and be obedient to Him, and God will make a way. Now I know sometimes troubles come upon us. Troubles come upon us, and it's things that we can't handle. And when you run into that wall of, I can't handle it, that's when you need to go to God. See, while you're thinking about trying to solve this problem, God already has the answer to that problem. When you're thinking, I think I know how to get around this, God can already has made a way around it for you. But you know something? When I consider all the people that don't trust in God, I consider and I think about even Peter lost his ability to think godly at one time. He cursed Jesus, cursed the lady around the fire. He said he didn't know Jesus. While Jesus was being tried, so to speak. But I tell you something. God knew all about it already. God always knows about it. And when you think and when you consider, see, I used to could come down these steps faster. When you think about it, God already knows what's going on in your mind and in your heart. See, God knows your heart. See, I look at you from the inside, from the outside in. God looks at you from the inside out. So God searches the heart, first of all. And when I think about it even further, if I could do what God could do, then you could worship me. But since I can't, don't worship me. Worship the Lord our God. When you consider that God is real all the time, thank you. God is good all the time, and God is real all the time.
Amen.
And then when you consider that I know God, I have an opportunity to know God. I have an opportunity to know God and to serve God. You ought to learn to serve Him and do His will. And you know, a lot of us think, well, if I do this one thing, God will bless me. God will let me win the lottery. God doesn't play the lottery. God doesn't need the lottery. God doesn't travel over to the riverboat to stand over you while you're gambling. God doesn't do that. God is the real God, and He's the real thing, and you ought to be real with Him because He knows what you're doing anyway. He knows what your mind is thinking. He knows what your heart is thinking. He knows you from the heart. And He knows just what He's going to do before He does it. And He knows what you're going to do before you do it. See, you're considering drawing up a plan to do this or to do that. God already knows what you're going to do. And He already, before you do it, right, thank you. He knows just what to do with you. And I think about some plans of some men. And then I consider that God knew that plan before you even thought about it. That's why I say to you today, trust in the Lord and He will see you through. Trust in God and keep your faith. Don't be like Job's wife. But be like Job and trust in Him and just stay the course. You know, when you think about it, Job had a few friends came to visit him in his sickness. And they say, the Bible says, they sat around for how many days, Brother Jackson? Wasn't it 7 days? And they didn't say anything. And if you can be around me for that long and don't say anything, why bother coming to see me? Why did they sit around and didn't say anything? Did they not trust in God or did they not trust in Job? Think about it. And I'll let you carry that one with you. But nevertheless, Job never lost his faith. Job kept on trusting and kept on believing. All I'm trying to tell you is you need to keep on trusting and keep on believing. If you have got a problem in your life, God can fix it. If you've got a problem that you think you have solved already, God can give you the real fix for it. You may have put a band-aid on it, but God can fix it. So what are you saying, preacher? All I'm saying is that you need to retain your faith in God, keep your trust in Him, stay obedient to Him, And God will see you through. Didn't he fix Job, church? Job wound up with more in the end than he had in the beginning. He retained all of his wealth and then some because he trusted in God. Now, I know sometimes you say it gets difficult to trust in God because God takes too long to fix me. Well, how long did it take him to make you and to bring you up through the time of your life? So what are you saying? I'm simply saying that God will fix it, but maybe not when you want him to fix it. But he'll fix it when he wants to fix it. And I'm glad God doesn't work on my time, because my time would always be calling up on him saying, God, hurry up and fix this. But see, God doesn't work that way. He works by his own time. See, one day in God's eyesight is like 1,000 years. So think about it. Now, you to the ladies or even the men who are going to go home and cook, you can't rush those greens. You can't make that chicken cook any quicker because you're hungry. So you got to trust in God. If you trust in your stove, trust in God. If you don't trust in God, then don't even bother to try to trust in the stove. And I'm saying to you, just consider all that God has already done for you. And if you can't think of anything God has done for you, shame on you. If you can't think of not one thing God has done for you, think and consider in the moment that I'm here breathing, thinking. And that's something he's done for you. If you can't think of any one thing to pray for when you get up in the morning, just remember you got up. If you can't think of anything to pray for at any time, just remember, God has given you the thought process that you can run this around in your mind. And if you can run it around in your mind, God has done something for you. Now, if you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, confessing, repenting, and then being baptized. If you are, you've already been baptized, but you've walked astray, you need to come back home. Come back and ask God to forgive you, first of all, and then pray and ask him to keep you on the right path. Then come before the church and ask the church to pray with you and for you. Now, I know that sometimes we want the impossible for us to get, but it's not impossible for God to give. Because the first thing most of us would ask for if we could have anything we want would be money. We would all ask for money, and then secondarily would be health. Now, I would consider that if you really love the Lord, you ask him for his blessings, first of all. Then you ask him for longevity. I know I want to live a long time. I don't know about you. I'll take my tired, old, corrupted body any day over death. But then I know one day I'm going to have to face death, and I want to be able to see the Lord in peace. Amen. I want to be able to see him face to face, and I can have a smile on my face when I see him. But unfortunately, some of us are going to have a frown, going to be wearing frowns when we see him. Because he's going to ask you, remember that time? See, because God doesn't forget. You and I forget. You and I forget things that just occurred in our lives sometimes. Now, where did I put that thing I was looking for? And you start looking for it. And then you get a few minutes later, if you don't find it, then you don't even remember what you were looking for in the first place. But see, God doesn't react like that. He doesn't act like that. He remembers all things all the time. And isn't it strange, some of the places you look for things, you go in the refrigerator looking for something that should be on the dresser. I knew I put that up right over there. And then you come to find it is right over here. And you say, I don't remember putting it there. Well, if you remembered, you would have went to it in the first place. But I'm just trying to inform you a little bit as I get ready to take my seat. I know some of you probably saying you should have taken your seat a long time ago. But nevertheless, my time is about up. But I got just one more thought I want to leave with you. And that's God is good. And all the time, God is good. And Brother Randall, I understand you speak quite loudly of when I'm up here preaching sometime. And I thank you for that. God is good. Don't worry about what you were asking for prayer for this morning. God will work it out for you. You just keep on holding his hand. And nobody else especially who asked the men to pray for him this morning, don't worry about it. Just hold on to your thoughts. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Just keep holding on. Even when it seems like you are holding too tightly, you can't hold God's hand too tightly. Just hold on to God's unchanging hand. Just keep on holding on. And when your prayers don't get answered, don't stop asking. When your prayers just keep lingering on in your mind, just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. And to the ladies, you just hold on too. I don't know what you may be praying for. You may be praying for a husband. I don't know. If you're praying for a husband, you just hold on and keep on waiting, because God has got one out there for you, but you got to ask God to help you find him. And I'll tell you something about that. When you find him, you'll know him. You don't have to worry about what he looks like or what he does. Just make sure he does something in the form of a job. But then God will point you in the right direction and he'll tell you this is the one or this is not the one. But you just ask God. Don't fall for anything. You got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And if it's money you're worried about, some of us consider behind in our payments on things. Just keep on asking God. He'll make a way. J.C. Penney won't wait, you say. But you can stall them off for a little while. You know how to do it. Just keep on praying till God answers you. Amen. Whatever you're praying for, just keep on praying. And God will make a way. That's the message this morning. If you feel the urge to come forward at this time as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.